back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So we are days away, ticking down to the midterms, or as I've been saying, probably the last election that we'll be able to freely engage in if it isn't already going to be rigged. But good news today. The U.S. Supreme Court today denied Pennsylvania Republicans' bid to overturn the state's Supreme Court and the congressional maps for this election. So, sorry, Republicans, not going to happen. What I find interesting, though, is the Republican lawyer, the guy who is the lawyer for the Republican legislator. Now, remember, these are the people who tell you they believe in states' rights. They don't like, you know, big government. He said he was disappointed with the justice's decision. He said, quote, "I remain confident that the court will have to address the scope of the role of state courts in congressional redistricting sooner rather than later." Because they understand that they've gone a bit too far. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on just days away, the big midterms election, our good friend Kevin Mahoney, Editor Zero, Raging Chicken Press. Kevin, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, you got it, Rick, man. Holy cow, we are a week out, and man, it's been quite a week. And I think if this doesn't clarify and put everything in perspective, just what is at stake in these midterm elections, I don't know what else is going to do. The kind of violence that we've seen here, that's been brought about by not just Donald Trump, but a Republican Party that's been off the rails for a couple decades now. Really, really, this is a way of focusing what's at stake in this election.
No, and you know, we've been talking for years now. I mean, you've been coming on the program for a number of years, and we've been talking about this path.
Yes.
That the Republicans have been pushing, the rhetoric that they've been throwing out, the kind of ideological hate and spewing. And for a long time, people were saying, well, you know, they're just using the racist or the homophobe or, you know, the xenophobe, or they're just using them as useful idiots. It's just, you know, it's not who they really are. Can we now say it's who they really are?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, this is, you know, there's so many times you take a hit of the crack pipe, right? And then eventually you're the attic,
right?
And I think that's where we are. And eventually, not only are you the attic, but now you've let the addicts in, and now the addicts are the ones who are running the show. And I think that's where we're at right now, is like, you know, these people are indistinguishable. The people who are holding office right now, if they don't, whatever, in their heart of hearts, whatever they think, I could care less, to be honest with you, Rick. It's what they're doing. It's what their practices are. And when you've got, like, you've got a Senate and you've got a House which are in lockstep with this president, that are in lockstep with this right-wing kind of neo-nationalist, white supremacist agenda, like, there's no distinction. I could care less what's in their heart of heart. It's what they do, not what they say.
And this is one of those moments where, you know, I've been kind of forgiving up until this point, where this is kind of enough for me now.
Yeah.
That if you're not outwardly condemning what this administration and what this president is saying with his race baiting and with the divisive language and, you know, all of this, if you're not condemning it outwardly, if you're not standing up and vehemently, you know, speaking out against this, then you're part of the problem.
That's absolutely right. And if you are not doing everything in your power to ensure that these people who have been responsible for, like, propping up this Trump administration, if you're not doing everything possible to get those people out of office, right, and change the party in dominance, at least in the House, if not the Senate, to get Democrats back in control of the power, to have some sort of check on this president, then, you know, you're just as bad as the rest of them, in my mind. Because it's like, we've got to be in a situation right now that we have to understand that our democracy is at stake. And, you know, it's weird to say that. Right. You know, like, I grew up, Rick, and we've talked about this before. I grew up kind of reading kind of dystopian science fiction and everything. Right. You know, and so my mind kind of goes in those places. Right. You know what I mean? About what could happen if.
Right.
And we're there. We're at that point as we've watched the institutions of our governance, the institutions of our democracy being slowly whittled away. Right. Being taken away, being watched the public stripped and sold off to the highest bidder. Watched regulations kind of like ripped apart. And watch the kind of, like, racist, fascist, autocratic rhetoric, like, being kind of, like, issued from the mouth of the president of the United States, and then watching what happens down below as the brown shirts show their ugly faces, whether it's in the shootings that we see out there in Pittsburgh, whether it's the MAGA bomber kind of, like, going absolutely nuts. We find out today that there was a list of 100 targets on his list, right? And sooner or later, one of those bombs is going to work, right? This is where we're at. And we have to start acting like that. This is no longer normal. It was a nice slogan, I think, for a while, especially for the kind of the liberals who felt comfortable with their position within the political establishment. It felt good for a while to say, this is not normal. But really, they were just continuing to operate as if it was normal. This is not normal. It's all hands on deck. We have to kind of have a turnout like you've never seen, and we've got to put the Democrats back in power so we at least have some breathing room and some protection.
No, and then hold them accountable.
That's right.
For, you know, it's not just, you know, and again, I go back to, you know, 2008 into 2009. Everyone went and voted, and it was great. There was great turnout, and we got what we hoped was going to be the hope and change. And then everybody went back to, you know, whatever.
That's absolutely right. And I don't know if, like, on Friday night, there was on the Chris Hayes show, you had Sam Cedar for the Majority Report, and Barbara Boxer was on that. I don't know if you saw that or not. Mm. But one of the things that was really interesting is that this is one of the things what, you know, Barbara Boxer said, everyone's got to get out and turn out and vote. And one thing that Sam Cedar said in response is, like, look, like, I'm sorry, even if you get Democrats back in power, right, that's not going to turn off the crazy. We saw what happened in Obama, and then shame on us if we do not learn our lesson.
Yep.
This has to be kind of a mobilization that stays the course. And it says, look, we don't care what letter you have after your name, right? If you're a Democrat, at least in name, then you're going to have to listen to the people now, because the people are the ones that's going to run the show from now on, because we cannot allow this to happen again, right? This is not about kind of like getting them in office so that we can go back to our lives. No, this is kind of has to be about democratic renewal. Right, small d democratic renewal with the kind of people's movements who've been mobilized since the election of Trump, to constantly holding these people's feet to the fire. And it's going to take a different approach to our kind of traditional progressive organizations that we're going to have to mobilize for power, not just for kind of like, let's get our friends on the inside.
Yeah, I mean, and but that's hard work, though. I mean, that's tough.
It is tough, but you know what's harder, Rick? Having a fascist run our government, having a police state run our government, right? That's worse. You know what's harder? It's harder once all that education money gets stripped from our public schools. You know what's harder? Getting that money back. You know what's harder when not just having fighting against? Is it harder to kind of like get a union, or is it harder to get to the point where we can put in new Supreme Court justice to overturn Janus and overturn Citizens United? Right. I mean, look, it's hard work. Yes, it is. But it is harder work getting back those things that have been taken away from us. And that's the kind of mentality we've got to look square in the face and move forward. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah. And you're right. But here's the thing. I mean, you've got even institutions that we think are going to be on our side, you know, maybe not so much.
Well, look, here's OK. This has been sticking in the bee in my bonnet all week. Let me give you an example. I live in the PA First, okay, and that's Bucks County region. And this is a race. This is a race that is ones to watch, right? The Cook Political Report has kind of basically taken a look at what's happening here in the PA First in Bucks County, PA, as one of the critical races to for Democrats to have any hopes of taking back the House, right? So I'm sitting there one day at work, right, and my wife texts me, and she's basically saying, hey, did PSEA – did they endorse Brian Fitzpatrick, the Republican running in the PA First? And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, no, that can't be, right? So I'm riding home that day. I'm driving home, and I'm greeted by at least two on my way home, eight foot big signs saying PSEA has endorsed Brian Fitzpatrick in the PA First, Republican for Congress. And my mouth dropped. And I go home, I do some research, and I found out that PA-AFL-CIO and AFSCME Council 13 have also endorsed Brian Fitzpatrick. And it blew my mind. And I have been raging about this all week long. And let me just put it like this way, right? I understand in normal times, right, you have to kind of find where are the moderate Republicans that maybe they're going to lean in your way, especially if you have got no shot of winning that race. That is not the case in the PA First. All the polls right now, they either have Wallace up plus one, they have Fitzpatrick up plus two. They're back and forth depending on the sample size, depending on the week. It's a neck-and-neck race, right? But so instead, we see that I think these old-school kind of like ways of kind of dealing with things inside backroom dealings that, hey, look, Fitzpatrick, you know, he's been an okay guy, so we're going to make sure that we've got our one Republican that we're going to endorse so that we look good. Meanwhile, that's having an absolute direct impact on the ground, because you know this as well as anybody else does, is that once you have labor unions that are going to put in their endorsement behind a particular candidate, that affects not just the organization behind a particular candidate on the ground, but affiliated organizations that are going to go in to help get out the vote. So what's happened in Bucks County, there's a whole bunch of other organizations that have been are attempting to get behind a blue wave and get Democrats elected by getting the vote out, by making sure that every door is knocked upon. And some of those organizations who are also have some labor backing, right, particularly coming from PSEA and the AFL-CIO, Pennsylvania AFL-CIO, those organizations have moved elsewhere to other things because they don't want to kind of run in conflict with the endorsements of these organizations. Now, I look at this as a strong labor person, right? I'm a union advocate. I bleed union, but I'm telling you, it is time for the rank and file of our labor unions to say absolutely no, that we have to start organizing for power, not to just to get some guy who's going to be nice to kind of hang out with and that maybe we could get him to vote for us on this one particular issue. We have to be smart about this, because it doesn't matter how nice Fitzpatrick is. He might be the right Republican, but it's the wrong time for that Republican. We need to have kind of power politics. Democrats need to be in the majority in the House if we have any hopes of staving off another 4 years of decimation of our public sphere.
No, you're right. And but you know, here's the thing. I mean, they've had some questionable endorsements over the years. I still remember the PAAFL-CIO endorsed a state representative by the name of Cheryl DeLosier, who was a Republican. And at the time, the National Right to Work Committee also endorsed her. So it was one of those interesting moments where you go, what?
Well, that's exactly it. Now, look, this is not 100% across the board. Let's be clear.
Right.
I mean, Wallace has got support from the steelworkers,
sure,
from the SEPTA Union, from American Federation of Teachers, American Postal Workers Local 7048, United Food and Commercial Workers Local 1360, right? So these folks have gotten behind Wallace, right? Because I think they understand. And, you know, I think it's just they're closer in touch with people on the ground and how people are hurting. And they understand, you know, kind of what organizing for power means. And so, you know, I look at PSEA's endorsement hurt me, like, personally, I think, Rick, because I've watched what's happened to our public schools, and we've talked about this over the years on and on, what's happened to our public schools, and when they're squeezing kind of, you know, federal dollars and state dollars to destroy what's happening in our public schools, is like, if anybody's going to be organizing for power, it's got to be the teachers.
Right.
It's got to be the teachers because, you know, when Brian Fitzpatrick voted for the tax bill, Trump's tax bill, what that effectively did, it helped to kind of strip away some of the funding and some of the backing for the ACA. And what does that mean is that those kids that are in those classrooms that are coming from hurting communities, right, that are poor or kind of lower middle class communities who are benefiting from the ACA, right, are now going to be directly hurt by that. And then it comes right into the classroom. Right. I mean, you know, we should understand this as teachers, as educators. Right. I teach in higher education, but any educator's got to understand this. And frankly, I think the educators in the school do. Right. And they know what the consequences of these things are. And, I hate to have this conversation right before an election. But we come on. Right. So, I mean, this is the kind of thing that I'm looking at kind of like my brothers and sisters in the labor movement, is that we have to kind of organize for power right now. I don't care what endorsement it comes from our labor leaders, is that we have to be kind of like getting the Democrats back into power in the House, at the very least in the House, to make sure that we've got a shot. Because if we don't get some breathing room here, we're going to get rolled.
Yeah, it's only especially with the Supreme Court that we've got. Now, you're absolutely right. And the hope is, you know, and this is one of those moments where, you know, labor could have some major influence in these elections by mobilizing their members and pushing in that direction. And maybe, look, maybe bringing the Democratic Party back to the school of old.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, look, I had it out with my own union, with ABSCUF back in the primaries. I was really upset that they got behind Costa and didn't get behind Sarah Inamorato out there in Pittsburgh, right? But, you know, because I say, look, this is the future of the Democratic Party, right? If we're going to have any hope moving forward, we got to go with the progressives who are putting the kind of like the movement back in the party. right, who are basically are linking up to communities that are about rank-and-file activism, that are about community-based organization, right, and are going to – they're advocating things that we've been talking about for years,
yep.
right, unabashedly. Medicare for all. We're going to have free college higher education. We're not going to do this half-measure garbage anymore. We're going to give us something to hope for. And Bernie Sanders showed people the way, and these people stepped up, and they won their primaries, right? So I thought that at least would have kind of given people a wake-up call, say, hey, look, the tide is turning. The people in Pennsylvania have had enough. Right, we need to get behind these progressive candidates and kind of move this state in a progressive direction.
But
the lessons are hard to learn.
Yeah, but I always go back to the Harry Truman quote. You know, you give a voter a choice between a Republican and a Democrat who acts like a Republican, they're going to choose the Republican every time.
There you go.
And, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, just basic negotiating skills. You start out asking, demanding the, you know, what you want instead of what you'll settle for. And to me, that's a huge step in the right direction with this crowd of candidates. And I think I'm hoping this moves us somewhere back towards sanity. But, you know, you look at the screed that they came out with last week,
yeah.
The Trump administration on socialism. Did you see this by the Council of Economic Advisors?
Yeah. We talked about that on our podcast last week. I thought that was just like unbelievable. Well, number one, it tells you that they're scared as all bejesus. About the what movement's going on. And the fact that you're having your Council of Economic Advisors kind of having a report and spending their time writing about socialism blew my mind.
Yeah, what I found interesting is, you know, you saw the report today from, you know, the guy from Denmark who basically pushed
yep.
back against the whole thing saying, hey, you know, we educate our children. People get health care when they get sick. Well, if you lose your job, you're not going to lose your house. You know, he went through all of these things that said, you know, you might want to, we pay higher taxes, but we also get a lot for our taxes.
Well, yes, absolutely. And also, you know, look, the thing is that they're backed in such a corner right now because they keep on citing, in that whole report, they kept on citing the Mercatus Center. And as we know, that's a Koch brothers-funded kind of think tank based at George Mason University.
Right.
And so they cite their statistics about kind of like what socialism could do. But in that same Mercatus report, right, they have this like freedom index, right? And they want to say what is the most free? They mean like free markets, entrepreneurial, and all this kind of stuff. And guess who ranks way up at the top there? The Scandinavian countries,
yeah.
right? Denmark and Finland, and so even in this report that they cite in the anti-socialism Red Scare report, is like their own people, the own right-wing libertarian-funded Koch brother billionaire-funded reports can't kind of walk away from the fact that, you know, what we're talking about here, Medicare for all, free college tuition, making sure that we've got a safety net, and hey, let's go for UBI while we're at it. Let's get a universal basic income while we're at it. That people who are arguing for that, this is not something that is going to kind of turn us into the Soviet Union. It's going to get us to the point where we can actually live our lives, right, and not have to kind of work just to kind of get by, be exhausted, be worn out, and then when at the end of the day when we get sick, wonder if we're going to be able to get treated without having to pay through the nose for it. I mean, come on. This is basic common sense, stuff that we used to understand as a nation, and it's time that we've got to just, like, you know, pedal to the metal, man. Let's get this done.
Yeah, something my grandparents' generation most certainly understood. And maybe we will understand once again.
I think we're on our way. I do have to say I'm hopeful of what we're seeing in the movements, right? As horrid as the news has been for the past couple of weeks, as horrid as the things that is coming out of the mouths of our president when he's going to these rallies, right? These kind of like, you know, Trumpian neo-fascist rallies, kind of whipping up hysteria for the caravan, right? That's coming from the South, right? All this kind of stuff, trying to pull all the race baiting, the anti-woman, the anti-gay, everything they can do to try to kind of strip up their base. You know, I think that we're going to see a turnout on Election Day, especially in Pennsylvania. We're going to see a turnout like you've never seen before. And I can tell you this, at Kutztown University, this is the first time I've ever, this is a midterm election. Every time since I've been there, I've never heard students being talking so actively about a midterm election. We've got people on campus that are registering people. It's happening at college campuses all across the state. And I know at Kutztown alone, over 700 new voters have been registered to vote on campus this year. So that's happening everywhere. And I think that is going to show up at the polls, right? At least my fingers are crossed for it.
I hope so. When it happens, I would love to have you back here to share some thoughts on where we go after the, hopefully, the wave happens.
That's right. We could pop a beer on the air for that. How's
there
that?
There you go. Kevin, always great talk with you. Appreciate the work that you do over at Raging Chicken Press.
You got it, man. Keep it up.
Good stuff. Our good friend Kevin Mahoney, Editor Zero there at Raging Chicken Press. Check out their work. Fantastic stuff. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. Yeah, you know.